So what you got going on?
I was holding that in for like 30 minutes, and it got to the point at the end where it was just like, all right, I'm going to pee your pants or go to the bathroom. That's all. That's the only choice you have.
So, I am going to die right now. You lost the power of will.
Yeah. So it was very much like, all right, I just got to go. There's no other way. So sorry for abandoning the show at the very last.
That's okay. I carried it out. Seconds. I carried it out.
I'm sure you did. You're good at that.
I said trooper.
We brought this up to the two of us before the show started, but I think it's cool to show the fans what we've learned, or at least what I've found. Turn up the song. So this is Green Day's Brain Stew. Right. Simple down chord progression.
Dun, says the guy who hates music.
Dun. And then here is Chicago's 25 or 6 to 4. Dun. So, yes.
And there is another song that the local classic rock radio station plays all the time. It sounds even more like the Chicago song than Green Day's does, which I can't think of. Help me. What song was that? I thought it was Deep Purple. I'm pretty sure it's not Deep Purple. I don't think it's Night Ranger. It's some shitty 70s song that they play all the time.
Don't listen to radio, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. But it sounds more like a 24, whatever the Chicago song was. Dun na 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 dun dun na 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 dun na 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 na.
So 25 or 64 is about, it's about being so high on drugs you don't know what time it is, and you realize it's 25 or 26 to 4. So 25 or 6 to 4.
Okay.
So that's where the title comes from.
Where's Brain Stew come from?
It's probably the same sort of thing, but it's just a lot more direct.
You know, Green Day is going to be classic rock soon.
Well, a lot of things are going to be classic rock. Nirvana is going to be classic rock.
We're getting old.
Soundgarden be classic rock. That's what's going to happen. And then eventually they're going to all be oldies.
I'm not sure oldies in here, it's just an age thing. I think oldies is a certain sound. I think oldies is Motown. I don't know the right terms for everything, but it's that Motown doo-wop-y
doo-wop is something. More, yeah, yeah. I mean, I had to listen to that crap all the time.
Oh, when I hated it.
You hate it. I had to listen to it when we would drive for 6 hours up to New York.
Oh, I had to. Well, maybe it wasn't 6 whole hours, but
my parents would play all the doo-wop stuff, and then they would play all these musicals. That's why I know so much about musicals musical songs.
I'm with you. Maybe it wasn't the same long. It seemed like the same amount of time of drive, but maybe it wasn't. But there was two things that I cannot stand, and that is, the American Country Countdown. American Country Countdown.
My parents and I think it's a country.
So that's country, so it's different. But there was another station, and I'm trying to figure out how to best characterize this, but it was like, I could characterize this better if I wasn't half drunk right now.
So I would hear the stuff.
But it's kind of it's the oldies, it's the oldies, and then it's up to, no, mostly oldies. I was going to say up to like some shitty Billy Joel, but probably not, probably mostly oldies. And it's just having to listen to that. Oh, this is great, because I was thinking about this the other day. Listening to those oldies into the American Country Countdown, Bob Kingsley, it just fatigues you, right?
Yeah.
You get this feel on your brow that your brow's dirty and needs washed. You get these physical symptoms that you're just tired and, like, sick, right? And I get the same symptoms when I am working on stupid ass computer problems that people should be able to figure out themselves.
Okay, so I'm going to take it in a slightly different angle, which is that my parents listened to this doo-wop, and they listened to, like, Dion and the Belmonts and that kind of thing. And then they would also listen to the Beatles on the stuff, but they would listen to not what you would consider the good Beatles, what you would consider the shitty Beatles.
Well, I would consider the shitty Beatles. Right. I wouldn't say you as in the general populace, right?
Right? Yeah, right.
Because love me do.
Yeah,
you know I love you. That's like one of their most popular songs, right? It's the doo-wop Beatles stuff, you know? Beatles got good during the White Album, you know?
Yeah, now, I was not listening to While My Guitar Gently Weeps. I was listening to, you know, I Want to Hold Your Hand.
I remember telling my mom, I'm like, when I learned about Sgt. Pepper's and the other good Beatles stuff, I'm like, Mom, why did you not listen to... I wish I could remember. I'll have to ask her again what her answer was. But I think it was along the lines of, well, they got weird, you know? I like the easy-to-digest stuff. I like the, love me do, or I want to hold your... Oh, talk about a whiny song.
I know.
Oh, so amazing.
Or 8 days a week. Oh, come on. It's all those dumb... And I really got offended by love songs in general, because that's what my parents really loved, were these, you know, these stupid, shallow love songs. And to me, music should be the music that I like, which is obviously, you know, we've talked about my music tastes are very weird, but the music that I like is in general not love songs. It's in general not about that. It's not about fucking, which is what so much songs are. And so, you know, I like the stuff that that's the thing, is that all these dumb love songs are, you know, tend to be chipper and tend to have those kind of same sort of qualities.
Well, it's a sitcom of a song, right?
Yeah, very much so. It's an easy to do. It's kind of a simplistic thing.
Well, it's pop music, right?
I mean,
dumbening of America, right? Yeah. It's just all the same.
And then the other thing that I would listen to is musicals. So I have lots of musicals. Now, the thing is that musicals are definitely better songs than the stuff that my parents listen to. But when you hear them over again, I'm sorry, even something as beautiful as Les Mis gets really... It starts to really piss you off when you hear it for the 30th time.
Especially when you're sitting in a car, which is uncomfortable. So you're getting all these negative connotations.
Yeah.
And that's where... Like, I remember, like, driving... The most vivid recollection. There was other places we drove to where I had to listen to American Country Countdown, but most of it was driving up to Moraine State Park, up to the lake, take the boat out on the lake, right? So in this car, you have the din of the highway noise. Mm-hmm. You have the hot car. You have this radio just listening to the sound makes you tired. It makes your skin feel dirty. It makes you feel like you need a wash. And I have that description because I was actually thinking about this week. When you're, maybe that's part of the reason. Well, no, the reason I hate top 40 country is because it's no different than top 40 pop music. It's the same fucking bullshit, just with a little bit of guitar or a little more banjo thrown in, you know, or the meter's different or whatever. Some music expert will be able to tell me how today's pop country is different from today's pop. It's not very different.
I don't think there's much difference.
There's not much difference.
There's a little bit of a twang.
There's a little more violin. Yeah. A little more fiddle, right? Yeah. A little more fiddle in pop country than there is in pop. But, you know, fiddle. Fiddle's the difference. Not much difference other than that. And, you know, it drives me nuts. Well, I don't know if it drives me nuts, but it kind of confounds me.
Well, I think the fact of the matter is that...
It confounds me that, you know, Heather likes top 40 country. And she tells me she can't stand Johnny Cash or bluegrass.
Well, I mean, I think the fact of the matter is...
I can appreciate Willie Nelson, Johnny Cash, and bluegrass. I hate top 40 country.
Yeah, and I can appreciate like those old classic country, like Crazy, those kind of songs. Or, you know, there's some real, but if I had to listen to that over and over again for 30 years, I would probably be annoyed by it. It's one of those things.
So
where,
you're talking about the oldies thing, right? How can you listen to a fucking oldies station where you're hearing the same 70 songs over and over again?
It's infuriating.
I had a question. I think we talked about this like probably like 7 years ago on the show. Why don't people make new oldies? Why don't they write doo-wop anymore? Put some new doo-wop songs.
Well, I bet they do. It's just...
But it doesn't make it on the oldies station.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure there are people making new oldies that would only make sense, but they're not getting popular because you're not going... That's just not a popular genre, and then you're not going to get put
the
on...
People that listen to that want to hear the... It's like comfort food, right? Yeah, they want...
Precisely, yeah. It's the macaroni and cheese.
Yeah. They don't want new doo-wop.
Fried chicken.
They don't want new oldies or new doo-wop. They want the old oldies.
In the same way that we associate music with times in our lives and with experiences we were having. Like, I associate things like... you know, Nirvana with you know, and I was just in high school.
Well, that's it. I mean, we were at almost the perfect age. I mean, maybe 1 or 2 years more advanced, older, would have been better for Nirvana, but really came around at the perfect time for us.
Yeah.
And, so, like, well, Green Day, same time, right? You know, a couple years later, 95, you know, when Dookie came out was when I was a junior in high school. And it was right around the time I was going to prom with a senior and whatnot. And, I mean, it's very formative in my life, you know, listening to Green Day with the people that I was hanging out with. So,
but now it's like, if I were to go on a drive with, you know, I don't have kids, but if I were to go on a drive with my kid, the last thing I would listen to is the stuff that I listened to in high school. That's so antithetical to what I would want to listen to. I would want to listen to new stuff or stuff that, you know, I would listen to like Pavement and you know, and things like that, things that got me interested. And Pavement is really, you know...
No kid's going to like Pavement.
No kid's going to like Pavement because Pavement is this mixture of like folk with slight rock tendencies and other things. And, you know, the more I consider, you know, and I was big into Pixies for a while, and I still love the Pixies, but the Pavement's better than the Pixies in terms of the best songs they put out, I think. Mm-hmm. The Pixies just have the advantage where they never wrote a bad song. They just never wrote... I mean, the songs that they wrote that are fantastic aren't... They don't have a lot of them, but they never wrote a bad song. Right. Pavement has written a bad song.
I haven't listened to Pavement in a while. I remember when we were at Nauticum, right? Yeah. Rob Bain turned me on to Pavement.
Yeah.
And I started listening through a lot of their albums, and it was one of those things like, hey, while nothing is, Pavement is not catchy.
No.
Right? But it's good music, right? So you can put it on, you won't get it stuck in your head, but you'll enjoy listening to it, you know?
I mean, there's other things, like, there's some amazing, Wu-Tang had some amazing songs.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know Wu-Tang as much as I know Pavement, but...
But if you listen to what would be called hip hop today, it's so different. But Wu-Tang is sort of timeless. I feel that their good stuff is just amazingly good. It's when, you know, when sampling first became something real. So there is the Beatles. They have some beautiful, brilliant songs. You know, when that kind of fusion of the old and the new became something real. They had some really great songs there. The bands that make nothing but good songs with the Pixies, they don't make the songs that change the world. So you have that kind of weird thing going on.
I don't think either of us are knowledgeable enough in music to really continue this conversation.
Probably, yeah. I think that this is the limit of where we can go.
So one thing that I wanted to mention is I needed a little bit of a distraction, you know, to kind of unwind. So I've started playing a Mud again.
Oh, okay.
So I've been playing Sloth Mud for just the past, I don't know.
It's a multi-user dimension. It's essentially the old MMOs before they
learned Gradle. It's a text-based Warcraft, right? Yeah. And when you, it's building a character, it's getting experience points, it's leveling up, it's all that stuff, right?
It's D&D without the...
Yeah, you don't have to actually roll the dice, right? Yeah, right. All the probability and statistics are built into the system.
And the Dungeon Master, the dungeon's already there. The Dungeon Master doesn't change the dungeon as you're going through.
Yeah, I'm playing one that I played a while ago. Actually, before I settled on playing this one again, I tried a futuristic, non-combative mud. I tried playing Federation 2, but it really turned into just like the first, like, until you get like tons of experience, you're just hauling cargo from one planet to another planet, and there's really no challenge. There's no... we're pausing here. Potty break, I guess. All right, we're back. Oh, we're talking about the mud a little bit. I don't know if I said which one I'm playing. I'm playing Sloth Mud. It's one I started playing a long time ago, back when I worked up in the mine. They've actually rewritten it. Some of it's very similar, but things seem to be different.
Have you been eaten by a Gru yet?
I've died a few times. When you're a newbie, you know, you're able to come back with all your gear and all your, all your money and stuff like that. So far, dying isn't too painful. it's kind of addictive, building that character.
Oh, yeah. it's kind of funny in a similar sense. I've been playing Skyrim a lot. I don't know if you know much about Skyrim, but it's the Elder Scrolls series comes from Bethesda Softworks, and it's essentially this huge world. I mean, this ridiculously large world, and you go through it and you do various quests, and you can do so many different things in it, and you can play it so many different ways. When you talk to people about it, you say, "Oh, I play it this way," and somebody says, "Oh, I play it this way," and you can talk about playing it in completely different ways and still have the same fun. So there's a beauty of it. Keep going back and trying it different ways.
Right.
You get to a point where you're essentially a demigod. You're essentially unbeatable. You can just go through and wipe. But first, it's very precarious.
You can't kill a cat.
Yeah. But it's this beautiful. It's a beautiful game in addition to it being large, and so it's got a huge map going for it.
I remember what I was saying before the bathroom break. I tried checking out a different mod called Federation 2, and I liked the idea how it was about trading and commodities and stuff like that, because one of the games on the Xbox I really liked was Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay.
And it was a game where you could be warring or you could be a merchant, right? And you could trade back and forth. And I really liked some of the role-playing flexibility that it gave you. The biggest problem with that game was there was bugs in the game, and you would get locked into a quest that you couldn't finish. Because of a bug, right? You couldn't complete the quest, so you couldn't start any other quests, and you'd basically be screwed at that point. You'd have to go to a previous save and then try to not get locked in. But there was enough fighting and you could take your ships, go, and you could kind of be piratey and go take down, Armada ship and whatnot. I really enjoyed that game on the Xbox. So I tried Federation, but it just really wasn't all that developed. It was very rudimentary.
Yeah.
You would, for newbies, you would buy a ship, you would have a 200,000 credit loan that you'd have to pay off. For all the money you'd make, 10% would go back to the loan. There was no interest, so there was really no incentive to paying it off early. And then you would just bid on jobs, right? There, like, new bids, jobs would come up, and you would say,
Was there a limited amount of moves you could do, too, so that...
There was, if you took too long to deliver the cargo, you would only get half the rate.
Because I remember a game that was similar to that on BBS as way back when, called Trade Wars, where you would go to a planet, fill your cargo with something, go to another planet that, and you'd work off the economy there, and the economy would be flexible based on that. But you had a limited amount of, you can only do 30 moves per day.
So with Pirates of the Caribbean on the Xbox, right, you could buy sugar at Curacao, and you could know that sugar is selling for a lot in Tampa, right? So you could sail up to Tampa and sell the sugar. With Federation, you can't do commodity trading until much, much later. So right now you're just taking bids to deliver widgets from Earth to Venus. Uh-huh. And you're just doing this over. And you're just it's really grinding.
Yeah.
And there wasn't enough nuance to the game to keep it interesting. So I only played that for a little bit. And I'm like, you know, I played Sloth Mud before. Let's go back to that. Got in there. And there was really no time before I was like, hooked back in. Like,
yeah.
Okay, this is a good mud. I should mention that these are free. Muds are typically free. Sloth Mud's completely free. Federation 2, they actually had this weird donation where, like, if you wanted to make your life easier, you could buy these bribes.
It's like Farmville.
Yeah, basically, you could buy bribes to get stuff done. There's no bribes to buy in Sloth Mud. I don't know if anyone's listening, or if you want a mud with me, Greg, we could get around.
Send me the link. Hey, maybe we'll
send it to you. I have, you know, probably about.
Is it an SSH Telnet type thing? Is that
the Telnet thing? Yeah, it's all text. I'm using a client called Tintin Plus Plus, which kind of has a mapping thing built in, so you can actually get a visual map. The visual map really helps you figure out.
I bet.
The layout, because without the visual map,
can you go on parties? Like if
there's quests, yeah. I mean, well, you can group. Like, yeah, there's certainly there's what do they call them? Mobs.
Yeah, mobs.
Which are the bad guys,
monsters.
Right?
Yeah.
Monsters that are too strong for anyone to kill. And, you know, there's definitely places. Like, there's one area that I've been working for a while now where at first I could just kill the bees and the snakes. Mm-hmm. But now I'm able to kill all the monsters in that area, right?
Yeah.
So I don't, but earlier on, if we both started at the same time, you know, we could collaborate and kill some of the bigger monsters together in there.
And that's, you know, sort of the level you get in something like Skyrim, where you are, once you get to a certain level, you're just like, you're plowing through things that weren't there before. And it's definitely, it's a very visceral experience. And
But the thing is, you know, you need to earn more, right? Just because you can get 1,000 experience on a kill, it's like, oh, great, I can get 1,000 experience on a kill. But no, you need like 150,000 experience to level up. You know? So you need to find bigger monsters to kill. So
Skyrim does a beautiful way of skirting around that, which is because you don't actually get you do get experience, but you don't get experience by defeating enemies. You get experience by leveling your skills. So you can level your one-handed skill, your ability with one-handed weapons, and that keeps leveling as you damage. And then it gets to a certain point where you can't level it anymore, but then you can start leveling your magic. And so it doesn't matter how many people you kill, your levels, how you level, is based on how you level these individual experiences. Once you get a certain number of that, and then your individual experiences. You can do that for crafting, you can do that for enchanting, mm-hmm. So
that's the one thing I would want to figure out more is, you know, anyone who starts a mud, they pretty much tell you to start with a warrior, right? It's easy to figure out how to bash things, you know. So right now, with Sloth Mud, you can have 4 skill sets. I've only developed 3 so far. I'm a warrior, thief, cleric. And I'm at 8.5.3 level, right? And, you know, so, like, the only cleric spell that I've cast is a self-armor spell. Like, so I throw armor on myself before I start trying to attack big mobs, you know. And I haven't worked in any, you know, groups or anything like that yet. Probably getting about there. I'm probably about big enough to start looking at groups and whatnot. I've only been playing for about, when did I start? Probably about 3 or 4 days ago. Might have about 8 hours in, so. But, you know, I also have memory of playing this thing like, Jesus, about the time we started Crafty Radio. So about 8 years ago is probably when I last played it. And they've rewritten it since then. So, I don't know. It's fun. And it's not graphical. It's all text. So you walk into the room. It's like those old adventure games, right? You walk into a room. It gives you a description. You can go north, south, west, and there is a snake here. Yeah. What do you want to do? Let's kill the snake. Okay, kill the snake. And you fight the snake for a while, and he dies, and you get some experience, and you get some gold. And you go to the next room, and you try to kill this monster that's too big for you, and he kills your ass. They have some tools to help you decide whether you should even try to fight the monster. There's a consider command, like, consider killing this monster. Are you crazy? No way.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, once you have a once you use the mapping tool, it gets a lot more, you can get your head around where you're at, right? It gives you a visual. So you're like, okay, I'm at the inn, and I want to go to this place where I've been killing all the bees and snakes. I need to go, you know, east, north, 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 west, 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 west. You need,
like, huge knives and stuff, huge swords to kill bees.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the funny thing. Like a cute little kitty cat. Kill cat. Yeah. Cat kills you if you're a level one, you know? Yeah, so it's funny how, like, really? I'm a 17-year-old man, and I can't kill a cat. That's the way it works. You know, sooner or later, I'll be killing dragons.
That's though, so. Sort of where Dungeons & Dragons, if you do it right, or Pathfinder, or whatever you do, mm-hmm. where it's where the DM in charge, well, they'll be able to say, all right, look. Of course, it's a kitty cat. They can make those decisions mm-hmm. on the fly, whereas if it's computer-based, the computer can't make those decisions on the fly for you. Mm-hmm. So the DM can say, like, oh, you want to throw the cat out the window, you know, unless you roll a one, but then that means that you've really messed up. Like, you went to grab the cat and you tripped over your shoelaces and you fell and you hit your head on the side of the wall, or you hit your head
Here's a D&D question for you.
Yeah.
So I have a choice between two swords right now, a black short sword and a katana. One is a 1d8, and the other one is a 2d4. Now, obviously, you have better average with the 2d4.
Right.
So, is that the way you would go? Or would you go with, like, the 1 in 8 times of getting an 8-8 as opposed to...
Well, see, the 1d8 means you can get a 1, and the 2d4 means that the lowest you can get is a 2.
Right.
So...
But you're how frequently you get the... What about the eights, right? Like, how frequently do you get the eights? Do you get more eight, or... I guess the 2d4 is better all the time. I mean, averagely...
I would think the 2d4 is better all the time because your max is still the same, mm-hmm. but your lower...
Your average is definitely going to be higher. Your minimum is higher.
Yeah.
Your average is going to be higher. Is it harder to get an eight? Do you get less eights with a 2d4?
There's more variables at play,
mm-hmm.
but...
It's a statistics problem. Yeah. I think you might get less eights.
I don't know whether that's necessarily true. I mean, it's one roll versus two roll, but you're dealing with considerably less numbers in terms of your rolls.
Yeah.
So...
I went with the 2d4. I sold the other sword, right?
Yeah, but, no, I think that's the right decision.
On average, I mean, you're killing a lot of things. You got to go with the averages, right? But I was wondering, like, do you get less eights? I think, on average, I think you might get less eights. Because you got two dice that both have to roll the top number.
Mm-hmm. Versus one die that has to roll the top number.
So it's 2 of 25% versus 1 of 12.5%. Something like that. I never took statistics. I don't know how to word it, but
there is some way to figure it out. That I'd rather not delve into the math right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that because if the question was what will make me roll eights more often, then that's a more interesting question. But if the question is what is better overall,
right.
I think 2d4 is definitely better overall.
Yeah, you definitely want more dice, right? Yeah, I mean, I understood that part. I was just trying to think about the top end part. I actually hadn't considered the minimum number. The minimum is nice, right? Because you never get less than a 2. That's great. It's kind of fun, kind of addicting. If any listeners want to play Sloth Mud with me, let me know. It'd be fun. We'll all be newbies together.
Send me the info and send me the program you're using to access it, too, because I want to check that out.
Sure.
So should we do Amazon Anonymous?
We can, except there's a little bit of a snafu. My my computer is logged out, and my two-factor authentication phone is upstairs. I have to go get my phone to log in, or just look on your computer, I guess.
Just look at my computer.
All right, we're back with Amazon Anonymous, and I really do not know what to pick. There's so many great things on here.
All right, well.
I'm going to roll through several things. You can spank me if you want, but I'm going to do it.
I'm not going to spank
you. Someone was rebuilding. Well,
I mean, are you going to bend over?
If you want me to. Someone was rebuilding a lawnmower engine and bought a lot of parts from Briggs & Stratton, so that was very cool. Someone bought some Xylus bottle stoppers.
Awesome.
Cheers. But, you know, the main item I'm going to go with is someone bought a book or an e-book from 1999. Oh, wait, they only paid $8 for it? I thought they paid $20 for it. That's weird. Cost $21 in paperback, but somehow they got it for $8. It's El Angel, Un Amigo del Alma, Spanish edition. Has no reviews. Has no information about the book at all. It says, no, there's nothing. Nothing about this book at all. People who bought this book are also interested in leather shoes, apparently. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Other than the book about the angel and a friend del Alma. A friend of mine? Alma? It's written by Victor Suiro. Curious. Curiouser and curiouser. I want to know how he got for $8 when I can. When it's going to cost me $26.
All right. For my pick for Amazon Enemies, someone decided to buy a jumbo LCD clock for their car. I think that's a cool idea. If you don't have a clock in your car, get a big one. It's only cost $4, like $5.
That means you got 4 or 5 cents.
We didn't get much from it, but still, I mean, it's cool. Because, hey, you know, you see how easy it is. So buy some more stuff.
I saw that. It reminds me of those dash compasses you used to be able to buy for your car, right? The little bubble compass for your dash.
Pretty much. The same sort of thing. But I thought that was cool. And yeah, no, I totally get that. Not only that, but you can put that anywhere. You don't have to put it in the car.
I mean, I'm surprised it's branded for car. That's kind of nuts, right? It should just be, hey, sticky clock.
Yeah.
Stick it anywhere.
I think that's cool. I just thought it was cool. So I'm going to say thank you for whoever bought those. And hey, buy like a whole bunch more of those. Like thousands.
80,000.
Yeah.
Buy like 80,000 of those, please.
Please? Pretty please? Sugar on top?
I thought you were going to time out. I have to pee
again. No, I'm...
He's making praying hands.
Yes. Okay. What else is there? What else is there to talk about?
The Olympics.
We talked about that.
Go America.
I don't really care. I honestly haven't even... Okay, this is going to be the first time in the entire Olympics I've checked the medal count. Let's see. This is the 22nd, 10:20 p.m.
There's only 2 more days of Olympics left. Or no, 1 more day of Olympics left tomorrow. Shit.
So this should be close to the ultimate. Okay, so U.S. is 4th with 27. Russia is 1st. You know, usually the host country does best.
Oh, they weren't 1st. Norway was 1st until just like today.
Norway is 2nd.
Okay.
So Russia, Norway, Canada, United States, Netherlands, Germany, Switzerland.
Russia is surging. They were not up. They were like behind. They were in 5th place last I checked.
The U.S. has the most bronze medals.
Woohoo! Bronze.
Bronze, baby.
Stick your bronze in me.
Aren't they all? They're probably like aluminum, just with a coating of something, right?
I don't know what the makeup is. I thought they were like seriously like.
A gold medal can't be all. You know how valuable that would be?
It'd be like several
$1,000.
Yeah.
That'd be absurd. They give off so many. They give out.
So I was watching Olympics.
Look at how many gold medals they've already given out. And this is just in the top 7. Well, that's ridiculous.
And that's not accounting for team sports.
Yeah.
Right? Because the gold medal for hockey gives out 20 some.
Yeah, there's gold no
medals.
Way that's all gold. I mean, gold's a limited resource.
The day that the Shcherbinsk meteorite crashed, 1 year anniversary from that, they were giving out medals with some of the meteorite embedded in it.
Yeah. And that's fine. I mean, look, you can make very small coatings of gold. They put in electronics. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm cool with that.
So I didn't know this was a real thing. I saw the fucking McDonald's commercials where they're showing the guys in the medal ceremony biting the gold medal, and then like all the McDonald's junkies are biting their chicken nuggets, like, because it's gold, so you bite it, you know?
You bite your chicken nugget?
Well, you bite gold.
Yeah, okay, you right? bite gold.
So, I didn't know.
The whole point of biting gold was that gold is so soft that if you bite it, you'd actually get an imprint, whereas other stuff that looked like gold is not as soft, so it wouldn't give you the imprint.
So, they show in the commercial the Olympians biting their medals, right? And then, to be Olympian-like, you put your chicken nugget in your mouth like you're biting a medal, right? That's the commercial that McDonald's is running this week.
I'm so glad I'm not watching. I'm so glad I didn't watch commercials.
And I'm like, they don't fucking bite their medals. That's fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
And then just the other day, during the medal ceremony, the guy that won the giant slalom for America, guess what he does?
He bites his medal.
Bites his fucking medal.
Idiot.
Dickhead.
It's probably just steel under there. It's probably
bites his fucking medal. Because McDonald's probably paid him to bite his fucking medal.
Now, as far as I know, the U.S. really never doesn't do all that great in the Winter Olympics anyway, right? I mean, they're more of a summer
Olympics. Well, it's a numbers game.
Yeah.
We enter so many people. We always do well, right? It's a numbers game. There's sports we don't do well in. We never do well in cross-country skiing or biathlon. We don't do well in curling.
We lost the hockey game. Saw that.
Well, we were doing good in hockey until then.
Yeah.
But, curling, no.
Yeah,
not good.
Not our game.
Cross-country skiing, not our game. Downhill skiing, we're pretty fucking good. Snowboarding?
All the little snowboarding stuff, that's all
really
U.S.
Fucking
that's
good.
All U.S.
Here's a question I had with some guys at work. Like, the Freakonomics, they take, like, questions like, you know, what's the most economical, what's the easy, you know, things like that. Here's a question. If you wanted to win a medal, what, like, starting out, teenager, you know, starting high school, you want to be an Olympian who wins a medal, but you're open to doing whatever.
Okay.
What sport is the best opportunity cost to win such a medal?
Winter or Summer Olympics?
Either. Right? So I've thought about this more than you. I'll give you some time. Here are some of my finalists.
Okay.
If you're a woman, well, there's also opportunity of country of origin. If you're an American woman.
Gymnastics team?
Hockey.
Okay.
You have a really good chance of winning a medal. Maybe not a gold, but a medal.
Or soccer.
Women's hockey. Soccer's another good one. If you are not particularly skilled in any way, bobsled brakeman is probably a pretty good one.
Okay.
Because you just have to push like hell for 50 yards, and then you jump in and duck down. Those are really the best ones I've come up with so far.
This is under the assumption that you will gain the skills necessary to be at least Olympic level.
Well, no. I mean, if you are just Joe Schmo and you set a goal, I want to be an Olympic medal winner, but I don't care in what.
Right, then pick a team sport.
It depends on how competitive the sports are.
Right.
So here's another angle.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying pick a team sport that's not very good.
Here's another angle which has some risk involved in it. Try to anticipate what is going to be a new Olympic event. Like, you know how we're so awesome in snowboarding?
Yeah.
You know, but snowboarding is going to get more competitive as time goes on, right? So you have to anticipate what will be an Olympic sport in the future and go for that. You know, there's a risk factor in that.
So video gaming.
No. I mean, there's a couple ways to look at this thing, right? Team sport versus individual.
Right.
How much of a physical athletic specimen do you need to be yourself?
Right.
Like curling, you don't have to be fit.
Right. Yeah.
But the competition in curling is really stiff, right? So not a great option.
Okay.
You could be if you wanted to be an Olympian, curling would be a good choice. As an American, if you want to be an American Olympian medal winner, curling is not a good choice.
Right.
So, you know, there's a couple, like, there's a lot of ways to look at it, right? I don't know. It's fascinating. I would love to see someone do the research on what is the best opportunity cost to become a medal winner in what sport for the average person.
That's a rough one. There's a lot of stuff. Like you said, there's a lot of stuff to consider.
Mm-hmm. Country origin's huge, right? Because if you're Canada, right, then women's hockey. Well, but there's more competition for women's hockey teams in Canada than United States. Right?
The reason why what came to mind almost immediately was team gymnastics was that you could seriously fuck up and the rest of your team could cover for you and you could still win.
Well, four-man bobsled, you got a lot of place, right?
Right.
But, you know, what is the entry pool into the bobsled, you know, team, right?
I have no idea.
Like, this year, a lot of the summer, like, on the women's bobsled, two of American fielded three two-man bobsled teams, so six people. The person in the front is the steering person who has lots of skills and has to spend a lot of time practicing steering the fucking bobsled. But the person in the back just has to be able to push really hard for a short period of time. Two of those three people were track and field Olympians from the Summer Olympics, from Lolo Jones and someone else, right? Obviously, they are not average human specimens. They're really fit. Does that make is a hurdler best fit for pushing a bobsled, though? I'm not sure, you know? You would think maybe a tight end football player might be better suited for pushing a bobsled than a hurdler. I don't know. Soccer player?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a sprint. I mean, a sprinter maybe. I mean, I guess it all depends on...
You're part of a relay team. I mean, there's...
But, you know, you just got to push. But how much does the sled weigh that you're pushing, right? If the sled weighs... It's on ice.
What about luge? What's going on there, too? I don't know. And
yeah. Luge...
Ski jump? I don't know what... I really don't know what mm-hmm. the consideration is in terms of ski jump. And there's so much about these Olympic events. I just don't know.
Yeah.
What is involved in it. And I'm never going to because I'm not... huge into this, you know, this kind of sports. So I don't know. I mean, I think clearly there, if you're from a certain country, then certain things are going to be more likely to give you better placement. But then again, like you said, snowboard and Americans, but in order to become one of the top Americans, that's a huge commitment because there's a huge amount of people who are becoming, this is where the sport is most popular. So you can't just say, oh, we're going to be an American snowboarding and then suddenly be in the Olympics. It doesn't work like that.
No, but also, I mean, look at the pool, right? Getting on the American men's hockey team is a lot harder than getting on the American men's snowboarding team. The pool. I mean, look how many American NHLers there are. Taking the all-stars out of the American NHLers.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that there are a huge amount of amateur snowboarders, but the ones who are the best amateur snowboarders are heads and shoulders above the rest, and they're just as much all-stars in their sport as hockey all-stars are in their sport.
So you need to find a sport where there's not an economic incentive to actually be good in the sport.
Yes.
Right? Because then there's not going to be as much competition.
Yeah. So like backgammon or something like that, right? I mean, you're talking about something where... There is not. Not even a lot of spectator value in the sport. Biathlon is probably something where it's the same thing. I mean,
but the problem for an American biathlete is that the word I'm looking for. What's the word to describe Norway, Sweden, and Finland?
The Nordic
countries. You know, they're just so good in that sport that, you know, no American's ever done decent in the sport. It's not like there's not Americans trying to do well. Mm-hmm. There's Americans dedicating their life to biathlon, and they still can't even place, you know?
Yeah.
Because the competition is so stiff from other countries. So you being a person who's like, once I choose my sport, I will be dedicated, you know, that's a sport where you could probably make the Olympic team, right? Pretty easy. But meddling is
comparatively
a story.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So if you just want to get to the Olympic team, then you focus on something where it's not
popular,
not
in
popular
your country.
In your country. Jamaican bobsled.
Jamaican anything. In the Winter Olympics. Track and field in Jamaica, a little bit tougher.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't know for sure, but probably.
No, the Jamaican sprinters are big shit. I mean, that's where Usain Bolt, the fastest man in the world, is from, right? So, I mean, you're just showing that you don't pay attention to the Olympics. But no, the Jamaican
I'm not
runners,
embarrassed by that.
The Jamaican runners are, I mean, they almost sweep the podium last time in the Summer Olympics. So, good stuff. I guess that's about it.
I guess so. Well, thanks everybody for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
New community's coming up, huh?
Next week.
So the big promo, they're making it sound like a big deal.
I didn't see the promo. So.
Big promo making it sound like another action movie type trailer type promo they had. So we'll see. Or action movie / bromance. I don't know. Like we're getting married. Like Jeff and Britta are getting married. And
that's not going to happen.
Well, they teased it and then... Allison Brie's name, what's her character name?
Annie.
Annie's like, ah! You know, like, no, Jeff can't get married. You know. Yeah.
All right, I'll have to take a look at the promo because that does not sound like Community this year.
But, well, the way it was, the seriousness of the tone of the narrator really drives it home. So, yeah. I didn't appropriately convey the seriousness of the tone of the narrator.